My friends, faith is essential to every action that is pleasing to God. All the great examples of blessings being received by faith involve an obedient faith. Read the great faith chapter, Hebrews 11, and notice the actions of faith in every example in God's hall of fame. Faith without works is a dead faith, but the blessings of faith are of incomparable value to the soul of man. Obedience is faith in action. There are numerous blessings which come by faith, according to the Scriptures, including remission of sins. When the Apostle Peter was preaching to Cornelius and his household, he declared of Christ, "To him bear all the prophets witness that through his name every one that believeth on him shall receive remission of sins." Acts 10, verse 43. Several years later, when Paul was recalling his vision of the Lord Jesus on the road to Damascus, he referred to his mission to take the gospel to the Gentiles, saying that they were to open their eyes, that they may receive remission of sins and an inheritance among them that are sanctified by faith. You will read that in Acts 26 and verse 18. The first gospel sermon, offering remission of sins in the name of the Lord, was delivered in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago, according to Acts chapter 2. The apostle declared in verse 36, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made this same Jesus whom you have crucified both Lord and Christ." According to verse 37 of Acts chapter 2, "When the people heard the gospel preached by the apostle setting forth Jesus as Lord and Christ, they were made believers." The Bible says, "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart." That is to say, they were made believers in Christ, having heard the divine testimony of Jesus. This is in harmony with the teaching of Paul in Romans 10:17, when he declared, "Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Also in Romans chapter 10, verse 10, the apostle declared, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness." They were believers. They heard the gospel, and being pricked in their hearts, they believed it. Having heard the gospel and become believers in the Christ, the Pentecostians inquired, "What shall we do?" Do not be misled by religious teachers who would have you believe that all one need do to be saved is just believe. The 3,000 were believers, but they realized that as believers in Christ, they must do more to become children of God. The inspired apostle would not misinform these honest and sincere people. They told them what to do to be believers and to become Christians. Hear the command of the apostle in verse 38 of Acts 2. He said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for, or unto, the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." What were these believers told to do? They were told, "Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins." As believers, they repented and were baptized for the remission of sins. In verse 41, it is recorded, "They that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." The 3,000 believers who were baptized did become Christian by virtue of their faith, which was manifested by their obedience unto the Lord. Jesus commanded, you know, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to the whole creation. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned." Mark 16, 15 and 16. This command of Christ in this familiar passage is a complex declarative sentence. Notice the sentence, "shall be saved." But who shall be saved? "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved," is the solemn, divine declaration of the Lord. Christ did not say, "He that is baptized shall be saved." Neither did he say, "He that believeth shall be saved. But he did say, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Believe and not be baptized to be saved? Who would be willing to add just one word, the word not, to the Lord's divine injunction in Mark 16:16, as if to make the Lord say, he that believeth and is not baptized shall be saved? Yet, you know, that is exactly what is being done by some religious leaders today. If baptism is non-essential, then the Lord Jesus did not mean what he said in Mark 16:16, when he said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. May I ask, do you believe? Do you believe Jesus? Do you believe the words of Jesus? Other blessings of faith include redemption, justification, and grace of God, as you may read in Romans chapter 3, verses 23 through 30. The apostle declared in Romans 5:2 that we have access by faith into this grace. And remember, the same apostle declared that faith comes by hearing the word of God, as you read in Romans 10:17. Therefore, faith is the means of access to salvation by grace. Perhaps all of these rich blessings of faith can be best expressed in the fact that it is through faith that one becomes a child of God. The Holy Spirit directed Paul to write, for you're all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ did put on Christ. Galatians 3:26-27. There can be no question about this divine declaration of the inspired apostle. You're all sons of God in Christ Jesus, he said. But how many and when is one a child of God in Christ Jesus? Paul, how many were believers, were children of God? How many were in Christ? This is his unmistakable answer, and I say, are you listening? For as many of you as were baptized into Christ did put on Christ. How many? Notice the transition. Don't miss it. As many as were baptized into Christ did put on Christ. My friends, salvation is in Christ by faith. Salvation is by faith. Paul told the jailer to believe on the Lord, and thou and thy house shall be saved. Did Paul tell the jailer to be saved by faith only? Notice the question and the answer. The jailer asked, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Paul told them, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. However, Paul did not say, believe only, as I've stated. Quite the contrary. He told them to believe, and then he told them what to believe. A person cannot believe unless he's told what to believe. Paul, the same writer, quoted the prophet, how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? So then faith cometh of hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:14-17. Having told them to believe on the Lord, verse 31, the apostle spoke unto them the word of the Lord, telling them what Christ commands men to do in order to be saved. Verse 32, the Bible says, they spake unto him the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord is, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Mark 16:16. Therefore, if they preach the word of the Lord, that's what they taught. And ladies and gentlemen, that's exactly what they taught. Christ commanded, he that believeth on the Lord and is baptized shall be saved. The verse states, and he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his immediately. Why were they baptized? Obviously, because they believed the word of the Lord, obeyed the gospel, being baptized the same hour of the night. Saved by faith that obeyed, not by faith alone. There are blessings of faith that are related to life itself, both spiritual life in this age and eternal life in the world to come, are ascribed to faith in the Scriptures. Speaking of himself, the apostle declared, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I that liveth, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live in faith. The faith which is in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. In one of the most familiar passages of the New Testament, John recorded the words of Jesus, As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth may in him have eternal life. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have eternal life. John 3, verses 14 through 16. Believeth, which equates to eternal life in this text, is a comprehensive term. It is very evident from multiplied scriptures that faith alone does not warrant the blessings of eternal life. As a matter of fact, our Lord Jesus, in this very same chapter of the Gospel of John, chapter 3 and verse 31, stated, He that believeth on the Son hath eternal life, but he that obeyeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Believing on the Son means eternal life, according to the Scripture. But obeying not the Son means eternal condemnation, the Scripture says. Therefore, faith and obedience are inseparable for eternal life. The Apostle Paul spoke of some who had made shipwreck of their faith, which leads us to say that men must be careful that their faith should continue to grow and to develop. In 1 Timothy 1, 19 and 20, this is what the Bible says, and I say, are you listening? Holding faith and a good conscience, which some have thrust from them, made shipwreck concerning the faith, of whom Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I delivered unto Satan, that they be taught not to blaspheme. Shipwreck usually means a loss of life. The great Titanic was said to be unsinkable, but the unsinkable ship did sink with the loss of many lives. It was a tragic shipwreck. What a tragedy it is when people believe and begin the Christian life, but then make shipwreck of their faith. The New Testament urges God's children to hold fast the sincere profession of their faith. There are many obstacles in the sea of life that may cause shipwreck of one's faith. The apostle exhorts, Let everyone that nameth the name of the Lord depart from unrighteousness. The trusting, abiding faith will shun all appearance of evil, as you read in 1 Thessalonians 5:22. And the apostle warns that Christians should shun profane babblings, for they will proceed further in ungodliness, 2 Timothy 2:16. A confrontation of faith and ungodliness may result in a serious shipwreck of faith. When one departs from the course of divine truth, the obstacles of error may cause shipwreck of his faith. The storms of worldliness and sin may wreck the faith of a child of God. Yes, wreck your home, wreck your life, and destroy your soul in hell. Yes, I tell you, the subtle and torrent ways of doubt, skepticism, liberalism, and modernism can shipwreck one's faith. Such words of warning in the Bible like, Watch, be ready, take heed, stand fast, I warn you, and many others are signals for the Christian to stay on course with his faith in God and trust in God's power to save. Thank God for the assurance that if the Christian adds to his faith, the Christian graces and the righteous principles of life, as enumerated by the inspired apostle quoted already, the Bible says, then ye shall never fall. Furthermore, the apostle gives assurance to those who have proven their faith, which is more precious than gold that perisheth, that they may rejoice greatly with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 7 and 9. Truly, The Blessings of Faith.